Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, y'all, make some noise. Make some noise, make some noise, make some noise. Come on, make some noise out there. Here we go. I was drunk.
Welcome to Word Outreach International with your host, Dr. Jerry O. Robinson, bringing practical teaching, spiritual insight, and prophetic utterances from the Word of God. So call your friends and family and tell them to tune in right now to Word Outreach International. May God continue to richly bless you.
About what God is doing in these last days. As the songwriter said, don't you worry. Remember what God has done for you in the past. If he's done it in the past, he'll do it today, and he'll definitely do it for you in the days to come. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm so happy. I'm so excited. I know that we've been out of the blog for a moment or two, but I want to say that I'm glad to be back in the saddle again. I do a lot of things, but I just wanted to share with you today that the Lord is so on the move in your life and mine, and he's doing the miraculous and the great things that we desire of him to do, because he gives us the desire, as the psalmist said. He gives us the desires of our heart. And one translation says he gives you the desire that he might bring it to pass inside of you. Any good desire, hallelujah. You got to know that every good and perfect gift comes from above, as James said, down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness or shadow of turning. Amen. I am happy. I know that I'm pretty sure on the blog title you saw that I would be with one of our guests today, and the guest was not able to be with us due to some of sickness, and we know that we pray mightily for sickness and disease to be dissolved out of the lives of God's people, because that is not a part of our MO or character. The Lord desires for us to be well, but we know that we get sick sometimes. And so with that said, we look for our guests to be with us in the days to come. But anyway, I just want to tell you today, praise God, that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God, and that all things are well in planet Earth. I know somebody says, but you don't understand the chaos that's going on around us. Well, you know what? Things can go around, be going on around us, but they don't have to be going on inside of us. Praise God. And that is a difference. You can be in a situation. Praise God. You can be around the situation. Can be around you, but you don't have to be in it. As I used to use the cliche, the hog is in the hog pen, but the hog pen doesn't have to be in the hog. Anyway, whatever. You know, I know sometimes we look at things and we say that they are bad. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not a person who's oblivious to what's going on around us. But at the same time, I also recognize that Jesus told his disciples, he said, you are in the world, but you don't have to be of the world. And we are not of this world. We have been translated. We have been transformed. We have been moved from one place to another. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. And look, behold, all things have become new. In other words, though we live in this world, though we deal with this life, we don't deal with it after the things of this world. We deal with it after the things of the kingdom of God. That's another story. That's another time, but I want to encourage you. Don't you worry. You know, remember in the end times past, as the songwriter said, he brought you out when you thought you would not last. So put your mind at ease. Man's inability, your inabilities, and my inabilities are God's opportunities. Amen. We want to talk today. Now, I had got a subject God gave me, and I said, Lord, I want to say something to be encouraging to your people today as they listen to this podcast. And I hope that as I minister to you, out of the grace of God and out of the blessings of my heart that God has imparted unto me, for I believe what will be said today to you, that we will say something that will be encouraging, uplifting, and edifying to you, to help you to go through these next few days and weeks, the week to come, what God is saying to us in this hour. Listen, let's go to the book today of Mark, chapter 4 in our Bibles, your Bible, and let's read this particular passage of Scripture, Mark chapter 4. Beginning with verse 35, and it reads as follows. It says, and the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they, verse 36, we're going to read this through the 40th verse, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. That's verse 36. Now, verse 37 says, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And verse 38 says, he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Verse 39 says, and he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And the Bible says in verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said unto one another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, in this particular passage, as we read this particular passage of Scripture. And in the next chapter, if you will, or in the same, excuse me, I believe, same chapter, as we look at this particular thing, the disciples now are in a situation, and they are being dealt with by the Lord himself concerning going to follow his direction concerning passage. Now, I'm going to read another passage of Scripture, and then we will get right into the heart of what we want to discuss today. Let's read verse in the next chapter. We want to read verse chapter 5 of that same book, Mark. And we want to look at verse 17. Well, let's read verse 18, and then we'll go into the heart of the matter. Chapter 5, verse 18. And the Bible says, and when he was come into the ship, verse 18 of chapter 5 of Mark, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Verse 19 says, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. All right, let's talk about it today. We just want to use this particular passage of Scripture and these headings so that we can have clear passage to what God is saying. We believe that the Lord is saying to us concerning this particular thing. This is what it says. These are three phrases that the Lord gave me, and I impart them to you today. We want to entitle this particular blog today, Great Storm, Great Calm, Great Things. Great Calm, Great Storm, Great Calm, Great Things. Father, first of all, we're looking to find the verse, and we look at verse 35. And Jesus now is finishing up his discourse with the disciples as they have ministered to a large number of people. And he is now getting ready to go over to the other side. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about unfruitfulness. And he's talking about fruitfulness. And he's giving them dialogues about the soul who went out to sow and all of those areas. And now he's just finishing his crusade. You know, he's just finishing talking to all of the people in whom that moment he had ministered to, and he now instructs his disciples. He said, "Let us get into the ship. Let's get into the boat, and let us go to the other side." Now, you know, it was evening. It's time now to be dark, and they are weary, they're tired, they've been ministering, they've been sharing, and they've come to a place where now they know they've got another ministry job to do, another crusade to carry on, and Jesus has given them the invitation, said, look, let's get into the boat. We know that where we have to go we can't go by land because we need to get there a little bit quicker than we would by land, so let's go by boat. And so now they're packing up. They put everything together. They've got their directions. They know where they're going, and they head out to go where Jesus has instructed. Now, I know that, listen, some of you today You haven't gotten past that. Some of you haven't even gotten your, you know, you haven't gotten instructions on where to go, and that's a whole other story. But now, and I don't want to talk about that on this line. I just want you to know that God will give you direction on where to go and how to get there if you will listen to his voice, if you will hear him. And I know that some of you haven't gotten to that, but I just want to tell you today, whatever God is saying to you in your heart, you hear that. Follow the voice of the Lord. The Lord always speaks first. The enemy is second. And whatever God said to you first, I just want to give you a cue. Hallelujah. That's what you should do. Follow your, follow the leading of the Lord from the inside of you. And I know that some of you saying, well, you know, I've got problems and situations that I'm dealing with, and I don't know what course to take and where to go and what to do. But I just want to tell you, I want to encourage you today, hear the voice of the Lord inside of you. Your instincts will tell you exactly about the Spirit of God, which is called faith, to step out into. And sometimes, you know, if you don't, I tell you a very interesting book, and I'm just plugging for it. I'll say this. There's a new book I buy, T.D. Jakes. Why don't you get it? It's called Instinct. You'll love it. Yeah, okay, Jakes, I'm plugging for you. Well, it's a great book. Read it, okay? Listen. These guys had direction. So I'm talking today to people who have already received direction. You know where you're going. You know what you're doing. You know where you're headed. And you have been instructed. And you've been given also the vehicle to get there. And you know that Jesus is with you. All right. You've got all that established. You're on your way to do your thing. You're on your way headed in the right direction to do what you have been assigned to do. And you know that you've been assigned to do that by Christ himself, Jesus the Lord, Yeshua. Excuse me, please. Because you know that you've got that direction and you're headed that way. And so here's the disciples now. And the Bible says that in the evening, they're in the evening time now. They've left the sunlight. There's no daylight. It's dark. It's getting dark. And they're on their way across to the other side to get to the destination in which Jesus has instructed them to go. And so here it goes. Now they're in the boat. They're in the ship. They're doing the will of God. And they know that they're doing the will of God. And I want to tell you something. Doing the will of God, when you're doing the will of God, you cannot stay in the same place. You cannot stay in the same place as of such. You have to move to another position. Doing the will of God causes one to move to another position, from one place to another. And I want to get you to understand, whenever you're going into a situation or you're dealing with a command from the Lord, you've got to be able to understand that you must move out. That's my point. You cannot be stagnant. You cannot be complacent. You must move out. So they had their instructions. They didn't become stagnant. They didn't stay there and delay. They didn't bring out any questions. They didn't say, well, why are we doing this? They immediately, hallelujah, obeyed him, and they moved out to do what he said. Now, if you're going to do the will of God, it requires for you to move out. You can't, and when I say move out, I mean you've got to be obedient. Obedient causes one to move from one place to another. If you're going to obey, you've got to move out of the mindset that you're in and go into the mindset of the trend of the destination in which you're headed. And you only do that. You only do that by obedience. You must obey. Obey is a word. Obey is a personality. It is a word personality that must come with doing the will of God. You cannot do the will of God unless you obey the word of God that he's given you concerning your circumstances and your situation and even to your destination. So I wanted to say that before we got any further today. Listen to the disciples. Listen at what God is saying. Listen at what the Lord is saying to these guys. He says, let's get into the ship and let us go to the other side. Now, this is after they ministered to the multitude. The multitude is watching them as they leave. They are watching them depart. He says, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent the multitude away, they took even as it was in the ship. He was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. Now, I want to make this, I want to bring a point here. Whenever you're going to a place, somebody is always watching you, or even most of the time, somebody is accompanying you whenever you're going to a destination. So you're not always in your thing by yourself. You're not alone. He had a host of people with him. And I want you to really take note that the fact the Bible made mention of the fact that there were also with him other little ships. In other words, there were other people accompanying him going to the other side. There were people who followed him even as he moved on his evangelistic journey. In other words, they were followers. They were partners, if you would, who followed him everywhere, basically on a consistent basis that he would. So he tells his disciples, let's go to the other side. Now, the Bible says, the storm arose. There was a great storm. There was a storm, and it arose. Now, this storm, the Bible says, arose immediately. There was no storm in sight. There was nothing in sight when they set out. Oh, yes, when they set out to do what Jesus told them to do. The Bible says that the storm, in another passage, arose immediately. It came up while they were headed in the direction in which they were going. And the Bible says there arose a great storm. Why did this storm arise? Well, let's talk about that for a minute. The storm arose to distort their previous vision that they had. See, whenever God gives you an instruction, somewhere you get a quick flash or a vision of how that instruction should be carried out for that moment. And so they had a vision of safe passage. They had a vision of going over to the other side. They had no seeming distractions. They had pure optimism about the fact that they were optimistic about going to the other side. So they were excited. They didn't have any idea that there would be a distraction or a storm that would come. And so this storm comes to distract them. And whenever the Lord gives us a command, immediately we see a vision on how it should be carried out. And in the midst of the vision, this enemy now, his job is to distract you or to distract us from that vision. So here we are. They are headed out to the other side. And the Bible says in verse 36, and other little ships followed. And now they are, you know, sometimes the Lord uses us to set a standard or to be a model. Something like a pilot program. Something that's never been done before. In other words, now they had sailed before. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. And sometimes, you know, they had gone many times boating. They were fishermen. So they understood the waters. They understood how things were on the sea. But the Bible says this storm came up suddenly. And this was not just one of those regular storms. The Bible says this was a great storm. So let's look at the fact that it is a great storm. So the Bible says there arose and came a great storm on the scene. And coming and listen, it came on the scene. It came into being. There arose. There arose. That means that it came on the scene. It came into being. It caused to be. The word great means that from the, we get the Greek word megas, where we get the word mega. Exceedingly, very wide application. High, large, loud, mighty, strong. There came a there arose a great, in other words, on the scene immediately was caused to be a mega, somewhat like seemingly to them at that moment because they were in a place, somewhat like a tsunami because of the waves, the Bible says, beating up against the boat and smashing it. There was a storm, we call it a whirlwind, a tornado, a tempest, where hot and cold winds coming together. And now here are the Bible says, and the waves already filling the ship, beating, pounding, of the pounding of force to throw them off course and to destroy them totally. They're in a situation here. And now fear is setting in because all of a sudden these things are occurring on their way to where they're going to do what they have been commanded to do. And can't you see those waters, white caps bursting, sea billows rolling, the tempest is flashing, the thunder and the lightning, the loudness of the sound and all of the distraction, all of the things around them, and now they're out there, and look, they've seen storms before. But the Bible says that they were afraid in so many words because they recognized that they had never seen a storm to this magnitude. And so here they are. They are confronted with this particular thing that's happening to them all of a sudden. Boom, here they are at this place. And isn't it always strange that when sometimes God has given us a command and told us to do something or go to a place, that we feel like I said, we had that flash of a clear vision of nothing happening. We were just going to get there. There was going to be no opposition. There was going to be no problem. But all of a sudden, here comes the storm of life. It comes against us. And now we are in a position and a place, and we are being threatened. We're being now tossed to and fro. Everything look like everything in life that can go wrong has gone wrong. And here we are. Now, we know that Jesus is with us, but now we're in a situation because our eyes have been taken away from him. We recognize that he's in our situation, and we feel that we're in the will of God, but all of a sudden, now we have this total distraction that has come to stop us and to take us off course and to really take us out, to destroy us, because that's what that storm was designed to do. It was designed to take them out. Okay, watch this. And the Bible says that in verse 38, and he was in the hinder part of the stern. Jesus was on the inside of the ship, which was being tossed to and fro. And here Jesus is on the inside of your life, me, my life, your life, my life, or our ship. And it looks like you and I are being tossed maybe to and fro in our situation to go and do the will of God. Now, what did the ship represent? Now, here they are in the ship. The ship represented to them a safe passage. In other words, the ship was their way of getting to the other side on the water. And I want to emphasize some things to you today. I want to tell you that sometimes it seems like our safe passage to the vision that God has given us, praise God, or even to the destination that we know that God has given us to get to, seems to be also now a passage in which it's not safe. It's distorted. It's almost being beat up. The place that they were using, the vehicle that they were taking to get to the other side now, which was seemingly safe to them for the water's sake, has now become troubled and seemingly to be destroyed because of the outside forces that are trying to destroy their passage or their safety. And have you ever been in a place where it seems like that your safety is threatened, that the thing that you felt like you would be safe in is now being threatened to get you to the place where God told you to be? I want to tell you, my friend, that Jesus is with you. I feel the Spirit of God telling me to tell you today that even though you may be, your safety may be threatened, I want you to know by the grace of God, by the power and the anointing of God, that Jesus is with you in that situation. And having Jesus in any situation, I can tell you, my friend, you will make it to the other side. Watch this. And it was supposed to be a done deal. See, sometimes we know that God has instructed us to do a thing, and we know, hey, this is a done deal. We've got this. We can handle it. But all of a sudden, here comes the storm of life. Not just the storm of life, but the Bible says here, a great storm. It was like the magnitude of a tornado that's a force of a 5 or a 6. And, you know, that's pretty destructive. Those winds can get up to 200 miles an hour in some of these cases. And I tell you what, and we've seen here in these days now that not only are tornadoes a small wind, but they can be a mile wide, bringing destruction everywhere they go and tearing up and uprooting things everywhere. Now, here they are on the sea. They're on the water. And there's a whole different type of wind on the water as opposed to the land. Because of the heat and the cold, all of these things. Have you ever been in a place where one day you're hot and one day you're cold? One day you're up and one day you're down? It seems like that's called the climate or the depression of life. Sometimes you get into a place and sometimes you're headed to do the will of God, and one day you're on fire and the next day you're cold. And it seems like it's... Now these winds are coming together and they've stirred up stuff in your life and it seems like it's a tornado, it's a storm, and you just can't seem to get out of it. But this is what the disciples were caught up in. They were caught up in a storm. This is what I would call a storm of life. Well, now not only are they headed, they feel like they are safe, but now even their safety is being threatened. That's mega. And so here they are. It's supposed to have been a done deal, see? Now they're getting ready to go to the other side, and really, it was a done deal. But because of the distraction. You know, sometimes the Lord tells us to do a thing, and sometimes we tell the Lord, but Lord, so-and-so can do it better. And the Lord's reply is, if I had a desired so-and-so to do it, I would have asked so-and-so to do it. He asked you, the person. He knew that you could get the job done, and he knew that like he desired. And although you might not seemingly qualify, he knows that you can do it. But you've got to know you can do it. Now he wants you to know that you can. They feel like they can't do it because of the distraction and the megastorm that has come. Are you in that place today, friend? Do you feel like you can't do what God has called? Oh, I feel this in my spirit. Oh, I'm feeling that. Oh, this is ministering. Oh, it's ministering to me. It's ministered to me in the past. I know that this is ministering to somebody. You feel like you can't do it. Well, I came to encourage you today that whatever arose against you is a good sign that you're headed in the right direction. And if it's in opposition to do something good, I want to tell you that it is you who has the problem to deal with how to overcome this. Watch what he says. The next verse says, he arose, he. Now, anytime there's a passage of scripture, in this passage of scripture, we see the word arose 2 times. And anytime, and Hebrew scholars will tell you that anytime you see a word spoken 2 times, that there's a secret in that word. Okay. Here it is, the Bible says, there arose first. There came into on the scene. There came into being something was caused to be. And the first thing that arose was a great storm. But the Bible says, after they questioned the Lord, they said, Master, careth not that we perish? The Bible says he was asleep in the hinder part of the ship, and he was not responsive to them. He's out there, he's dealing with them, And he's resting. He's at peace. Now, I would go into that, but then it seems something. Well, let's talk about it for a minute. It seems sometimes like Jesus is sleeping out of life. It seems like he's not responsive to what we're doing. He's given us a command and told us what to do, and it seems like he's just silent. He doesn't care. He's in his zone. He's in his place, and he's out. The Bible says in this particular passage, he was resting in the middle of a storm. And I know that you're saying to yourself, well, how in the world can how can Jesus sleep through this storm, and how in the world can he be sleeping inside of me when I'm going through all of this? I'm going through one of the most horrible times. I'm going through one of the most horrific times of my life, and I can't seem to get Jesus involved in what I'm doing, even though I know he's told me to go this way and do this thing and do it this way, yet I'm in one of the most terrible times of my life, and I need help, and I don't hear any response. How many times have you ever been in a place when Jesus just seems to be quiet to you, and that nothing is going away? And you're headed in the right direction. You've got all that stuff solved. You know you're doing what God has called you to do. You've got all that down. You know that should have been a done deal. But now look at this storm that you are being confronted with. Well, here's Jesus. He says to them, the Bible says they wake him up. They said, look, Jesus, I know you've been quiet inside of me, but it's time for me now to wake you up. Sometimes we have to wake up the Lord in our lives. Sometimes these storms that are coming and these things that we know when we were in the will of God, we have to say, you know what? I need Jesus to help me through this situation. I need Jesus. You know what? When we think we're doing things by ourselves sometimes and we know we're headed in the right direction and we think that we're doing it in our own might and on our own power, the Lord sometimes will become quiet so he can let us see who we are not. He wants us to know who we are, but sometimes he will let us see where we are and where we are not and who we are not and where we think we are that we are not there. Does that make sense? So he's now talking. He's talking to the disciples. The Bible says he arose. They wake him up. He arose. And he began. Now look, he arose. That means to wake fully, to arise. Figuratively, to arise, to be raised. He was stirred up. Tell somebody to stir Jesus up. Sometimes we need to stir Jesus up. We need to get him stirred up inside of us so he can do his thing in our situation. So watch what Jesus happens. And the Bible says, now remember in verse 37, there arose and came into being a great storm. It was caused to be. But now in verse 38, the Bible says, he arose and rebuked the wind. There it is, the wind. See, there are two times, the wind, the word wind is recognized, and the word storm, or the word arose is recognized. And the Bible says, he rebuked the wind, meaning saying, stop it, that's enough. One person said, and he said to the wind, as we read Mark's account, peace be still. As another person said, he said, shh, be quiet. Hallelujah. Listen, God can still the storm that you're dealing with as you're going to do his will. He can still the distraction. He can stop it. He can cause it to stop. He can cause it to quit. But that's not why he was asleep. He was not asleep because of the fact that he didn't care. He wasn't asleep because of the fact that he did not have their compassion in heart, or that he did not have them in mind. He was asleep because he had given them an assignment for them to carry out. And let me tell you something. There are some created parts in you and me. There are some things that God wants us to do. They had never been in this situation before. And I know that sometimes we're dealing with things, and nobody's ever been through these things before. Now, they were in a situation where they didn't actually know what to do. And what Jesus was doing was, the reason why he was quiet is because he had been with them all this time, and he wanted the created part of them to come out. He wanted the Elohim part of them, the God part that is set inside of them, to come out. But they missed it in this particular instance, because this has never been done. This has never been, in this in particular case, experienced before with them, and they didn't know how to handle it. So this is what he does. The Bible says he gets up. He stirred up because they stirred him up. And let me tell you, sometimes if you're in a situation, it wouldn't hurt to stir Jesus up. It wouldn't hurt to get him to get up in your situation if you don't know exactly what to do. And the Bible says, he said unto the sea, peace be still. Shh, stop it. Don't do it anymore. That's enough. And let me tell you something, friend. The best way to address a situation, a crisis, is to know its nature or origin. Now, if they had been really conscious of what was going on and how they'd been with Jesus, you cannot, and he spoke to this situation. This is the whole crux of the matter. He spoke to the situation. You can't properly speak to a situation unless you know how it operates. Okay? In other words, when a situation arises, you arise. When the Bible says, when the storm arose, when they stirred him up, he arose. They should have been stirred up enough to arise. They had been with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, their boat was being, their safety was being threatened. Watch what I'm saying. Their safety was being threatened. And if you don't know what you're dealing with, you're not going to be able to speak to it properly. You're not going to be able to deal with it in the manner in which it should be dealt. Not only can you speak to it properly, you can also see the opposition for what it is. When distractions come, sometimes we can't discern properly. This is the purpose of distractions. I'm going to tell you that today that distractions come to stop you from discerning what's going on around you. And the reason why Jesus could discern what was happening was because the Bible said he was asleep. He could discern what was happening because of the simple fact that he knew where the opposition was coming from. So therefore, he was at peace. You can't speak peace to something unless peace is in you. When distractions come, or when disappointments come, if you are caught in the middle of disappointment and you become sucked into disappointment, you're going to be disappointed and you won't be able to speak to disappointment. But the Bible says, remember now, he's asleep. He's at peace. So when he gets up, he speaks what's in him. He says, peace, shh, be still. I want to tell you, I want to encourage you today, friend. Don't let the storms of life, and I don't misunderstand me. Don't take me for saying that we're not acquainted with fear, but we don't have to be overtaken by fear. Don't misunderstand me when I say this. We know that things are going to come. Storms are going to come. Fear is going to come at us. But we don't have to be gripped by it or overtaken by it. For God has not given you, and nor has God given me, the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. That's what Paul shares with Timotheus in his gospel as he ministers to us out of the writings of Timothy. Timothy tells us that Paul says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So here we are. They now, because they did not recognize the opposition and what they were dealing with, they're now overtaken by fear. But watch what's happening. Now, I got a quote here from a pastor friend of mine by the name of Leonard Hardaway, and he quotes it saying, if you can't see it, say it. Now, I'd like to say, to note also, say it until you see it. But anyway, these disciples were now in a situation, and they couldn't see their way out. And so Jesus gives them a remnant and says, speak your way out. Friend, are you in a situation today and you can't see your way out? Well, I want to give you some good gospel news. You can speak your way out. You've got to say something to your situation, or your situation will continue to say something to you. It will consume you if you let it. So how do you speak to your situation? The Lord always shows us a thing before they happen, if we will look. I've learned that when it is shown to me by the Lord, whether negative or positive, to speak immediately to it instead of waiting for it to arise and to speak to me. Watch. When they saw it coming, glory to God, because they had never experienced this before, when they saw it coming, you can see trouble coming. God will let you see trouble coming. And sometimes it will come upon you immediately. But even in the process of that, now I can speak for them now because the trouble is gone and the situation is passed over, and we see the dilemma they were in, and we see the history of that story. And now we say, well, you know, this is what I would do. But sometimes when you are in the midst of a problem and a situation, you feel like you don't know what to do. But I can tell you now that that's you today. Let me give you some good gospel news and tell you to speak to that thing and talk to that thing and tell that thing to leave you alone. We're getting to the matter in the heart of this. But listen to what I'm saying as we move forward to this. Sometimes you have to draw a line in the sand and not wait on an attack, but go and attack. And I know I'm going to some stuff here, but praise God, they were going to attack. They didn't know that they were going to attack, but they were going to attack something, because the reason why Jesus is telling them to go to the other side is out of chapter 4 is for chapter 5. Now, let me tell you something. We have to watch what we say when we get in the situation, because what we say out of our mouth determines what basically happens to us in the present and moving into the future. The Bible said, he said, let us go to the other side. That's the positive of it. He goes down and says, okay, I'm going to sleep, because I know that where I said we're going to get there. In the midst of them on their way to where they were going, the devil brings, or the enemy brings in a great storm. Now, if you're going to get a great blessing, you're going to have a great storm. If you say, you can't get by it. It is the divine law of reciprocity. You want a great harvest, you got to grow great seed. You got to sow great seed. You can't get a little seed, basically, for a great harvest. Now, I know that seems paradoxical. It seems a contradiction. But I want to tell you, because, you know, there are certain things that we say. But for the law of what goes on with basic seeds, you get what you put in. You put in a little, you get a little. You put in a lot, you get a lot. Does that make sense? Well, I know some of you scholars are saying, well, you know, if you put in a little mustard seed, you get a big tree. Yeah, but there's a process that goes with that. I'm talking about when you sow according to the laws of what you're working on getting. Yes, you can sow a small mustard seed and gather a great tree. Yes, you can do that. But for the law's sake, on the miracle side, if you sow an apple, you're not going to get an orange. If you sow an orange, you're not going to get an apple. That's my point. You've got to speak. You've got to put in what you want to get out. Now I'm through with that. You got to draw a line. I just wanted to say that. My point is that you and I have the power to reverse bad news and affirm good news by what we say. Did you not know that death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof? What I'm telling you is that they began to say the wrong thing. They said, Lord, do you not care that we are about, this is is what they were really saying. We are about to perish? Well, why would you say that when you got the Lord on the ship with you? Would you not think that having the Lord himself, he's not gonna disintegrate and go away? He's not going to die in the midst of your situation? Why would he do that? He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is Jesus himself. He's on the ship with you. Not just the ship literally with these disciples, but he's with you and me in the ship of life. We know that he's with us. We know that he's commanded us. We know that he's told us to do this thing that we are doing. And yet the distractions of life, the storms of life have come, and now we become fearful, and now we become afraid, and here we are saying the wrong thing. So the Bible says he gets up and he speaks. And he says the right thing, because the right thing is on the inside of him to say. He says to that situation, peace, be still. Friend, I want to tell you today, get the wrong thing out of you. Get the wrong thing out of your mouth, because your mouth is what has the power to say yay or nay to your situation. You can make your situation good, or it can make your situation bad. If there's some things going on in inside of you today that are not the right things, get them out. And don't speak them out, but say to them, get out of you. But make sure that whenever you get those things out of you, you speak the right things into your situation. Now, I know that sometimes things happen so fast that we don't have time to say anything but Jesus. Have you ever been there? When I've seen friends of mine who were in a car wreck, either headed into another car hitting them or into a collision, and they said, Jesus! They say the right thing. They don't say, oh, woe is me. When you really want to get out of a situation, you'll speak to it immediately, impulsively. What came out of them was Jesus. And miraculously, they were delivered from the situation. And I hope that I'm helping somebody today. I hope you hear what I'm saying. Connect the dots. Put two and two together. It'll make four. Let me tell you, death and life is in the power of the tongue. And what you say is what you get. For an instance, let me give you some examples. For an instance, when Hezekiah was given the report that in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1, in those days, the Bible said, Hezekiah was sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah comes and says to him, you're going to die. Get your house in order. You're surely going to die. He didn't think, well, you know what? I'm getting ready to get out of here. The Bible says he turned his face to the wall. You know the story. If you're aware of reading, I'm not catching you in the middle of the story. You know what he said. The Bible says he turned his face to the wall and cried out to the Lord. And the Lord delivered him in that instance. Because he spoke life to himself. My friend, if you're not ready to die today, you're not ready to know that the will of God is being carried out in your life, you're headed to a place, you're headed to a destination, it's not time for you to die. It's time for you to live. It's time for you to speak. It's time for you to say something about it. It's time for you to go on into the destination that God has directed you and move yourself to the other side. This is your time. This is your time. And don't let the enemy stop you from being blessed. Another example, I can give you many examples. Cindy Jacobs and a group of her people, you know Cindy Jacobs, the singer in our day and time. They had been fasting and praying when they heard about the Hurricane Rita coming against Houston. And they prayed and fasted, and they turned it the other way. They didn't say, well, you know what, the storm is coming, and we are going to perish. We're going to be sucked up. We're going to be destroyed. No, they spoke to the storm. Just like with Chuck Pierce, who prophesied that Katrina and Rita would come. You God will show you stuff coming. You got to see it coming. You got to know it's coming. He's not going to leave you without knowing something is going to happen. He's not that kind of God. He always warns us before something takes place. Friend, are you being warned today? There's a storm coming. Are you watching for it? Are you looking for it? Because whenever you set out to do the will of God, the enemy's not going to lay down and say, well, you know, you just go ahead on and do what God has called you to do now, and everything's going to be all right. No, that's not his job. His job is to bring opposition. His job is to stop you. His job is to destroy you. His job is to distort you. His job is to do everything he can to keep you from getting Why was he sending the storm? Because his territory was being invaded. His domain was being being occupied. It was somebody coming into his domain. So whenever you're going into the enemy's domain, be assured that there's going to be an opposition against you. Whenever God has told you to do something that causes opposition, be it known to you that you are in or headed into the enemy's domain to move it or to destroy it. He feels and he knows that you're coming to do the will of God. Whenever the will of God is being done, it always upsets the enemy's camp or always upsets the enemy's territory. We're talking about territorial things. I wish I had time to get into it. My God, praise God. When the Lord gives us a word about something, it is up to us to speak life or death. I can tell you right now that if you are been in a situation and it seems like you're being overtaken by it, I want you to speak your way out. You've got to talk your way out. You've got to say to that thing, mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. You don't believe it? You don't have to doubt it in your heart, but believe those things that you say. You will have what you say. Speak to the situation. God is there to get you out. Come here, Abraham. Are you going to be destroyed? God said, I'm going to destroy Sodom. Abraham said, hold on just a minute. You know, first of all, the Bible says that God said, should I not tell Abraham what I'm going to do concerning this thing? God always warns us about things to come. He's not a God that will not allow us to be warned. He's not a God that won't tell us what's going on. You know that that's going to be opposition. God says, I'm going to destroy Sodom. Abraham said, hold on just a minute. Let's talk about this. He says, you find 50 righteous, would you not spare the city? And God says, yes. He gets all the way down to 10. God said, I'll spare the city. There's 50 righteous there. Can I tell you something? God would have, he would not have destroyed the city if Abraham had asked for just one. We know he was asking for Lot because we see the scenario here. God, if he had just said, if you find one righteous man, would you not destroy the city? We know that righteous Lot was there. But Abraham, pre-adventure, did not go to that level. I want to tell you that it's not God's will to destroy anything. It's God's will to build up. It's the enemy's job to destroy. John 10:10 says, for the thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come, but that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Man, I'm trying to get over to this place. There was a great storm, and Jesus spoke, and there was a great calm. And I want to tell you today, let us do the will of God. Let's get down to the nitty gritty. They were fearful, but don't let fear take you over. And don't, you know what, let's deal with fear. What is fear? Fear is false evidence appearing real. That's the acronym that we used in the past. And I want to tell you today that false evidence appearing real that's in the storm that you are seemingly facing right now, I want you to know that you have the power, you have the authority over that thing to do what God has assigned you to do, to carry you through to where God has told you to go. Because there's something on the other side that the Lord wants you to get to that is seemingly, at this point, hard for you to make it. But I want to encourage you today, my friend, speak to the situation. Tell that situation to come to grips with who you are and what God has commanded you to do, and know that the Lord is with you. My time is running out. I'm almost down at the last minute here, and maybe we'll finish this segment next week, but praise God. You don't have to be afraid anymore. You can speak to the situation. Whoever you are today, I'm speaking to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of fear, that storm of life that's come against this individuals, knowing that they have the rite of passage and that their safety now is being threatened because of the enemy who has now come against them. I rebuke the storm. I agree with them that the storm is dissolved and it's dissipated and that they are going to the other side. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we tear down powers, principalities, and the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places, and tell them to depart from that situation in Jesus' name and go into the abyss where you belong. And we release back into that situation peace today. Peace where there was a storm. Peace in a great storm where they are. God bless you today. Don't you worry when the pressures of life have come. Jesus wants you to be at peace and to know that your situation has been resolved by you speaking to it in the name of Jesus. Don't you worry. The pressures of life seem to have you trapped. My friend, be encouraged. Remembering in times past, he brought you through when you thought that you would not last. I want to tell you that today, praise God. Man's inability, they're God's opportunity. So with that in mind today, I just want to say to you, praise God, my friend, you be encouraged. We'll finish this up next week, same time, same station, same place, by the grace of God. Hallelujah. God wants you and me to go to the other side. He wants us to do what he's called us to do by his grace and by his power. So in these last moments, as I leave this broadcast today, don't you worry. Remember, in times past, he brought you through